took the nails for me.
This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from a vision.
A vision to support our brother and sister Christians.
And those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus.
And his people.
And he wants us to strengthen his disciples.
To get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Good evening, everyone, or good morning, depending on when you're listening to us. This is Glorious Day. I'm Pastor David.
This is Pastor Barry.
And we have a special guest with us today, Dr. Brenda McManuson, who is a U.S. Constitution scholar. And we're going to be leaning on you, Brenda, to do some sharing with us, some truths about the United States Constitution, perhaps other fundamental and foundational documents of our nation, as it has to do with God's involvement in government.
Mm-hmm.
And without much further ado, we do a lot of ado here, but with much further ado, Brenda, we're just going to ask you to take over and talk to us about God and our Constitution.
Amen. Amen. Well, first of all, I want to thank you for having me and encouraging me. I especially love to share the mighty deeds of God. That's from Psalm 78, and where it instructs us to teach the mighty deeds of God to the next generation so that they have faith in God and hope to obey his commands. And I look at our children, and if they ever needed hope, it's now.
Oh,
and
amen.
When we teach the mighty deeds of God, it does bring hope. And especially with our Constitution, there's so many phrases that have been changed. The definitions have been changed. There's so much of the history that's been rewritten. And so what I do is teach from a biblical worldview and original documents. I actually hunt them down.
Wow.
And it makes it so fascinating to learn that our founding fathers had founding fathers. They didn't come up with the revelation that they had all of a sudden, which I always found they did. I never really understood how God worked through generations and through centuries, fulfilling Isaiah 9:7. And you were just mentioning that. I don't know if you have that scripture.
I do. And Barry, if you could read that verse. Well, it's actually 9:6-7 is what we had. So, yeah, would you do
mm-hmm.
that?
Sure. Isaiah 9:6-7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. So you were just sharing with me different perspectives of that scripture, but I've been certified through Foundation for American Christian Education. They're the ones that published that really thick 1828 dictionary. I don't know if y'all have ever seen it, but Noah Webster...
Yeah.
Published the first American dictionary at the height of when America reasoned biblically. So when you look up words like government, marriage, covenant, education, they're defined by scripture. And it is so fascinating. So when it mentions of the increase of his government in peace, there will be no end. The word government, when we think government, and we even research it and look at dictionary.com, we realize why we think of government top down like we do today. Whereas when you look at the word government from the 1828 dictionary, it talks about self-government and family government, which are very biblical concepts.
Definitely.
And we see with what this is what I've been trained through FACE, is there's a providential perspective of history and government where you can look at what God has done through generations and through centuries, and you'll see that his government has been increasing just like the scripture says. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing. And so part of that, and interrupt me if you have any questions or comments, y'all. I don't want to.
Well, I was just going to say that what you've just said is you've described a lens through which we can see our own foundational documents, the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, and the Constitution.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And what's beautiful is when you look at the Declaration of Independence and you see the concepts there, a lot of us today, and this might sound rude. I hope it doesn't, but we are so biblically illiterate that a lot of people read those documents and they don't realize the scriptural concepts and principles in those documents. And so you have to go back to the original documents and realize what God did from the dominion mandate in Genesis and through some of the scriptures all through the Bible, you know, in Psalms and Proverbs and then in the New Testament. And then see how he worked through time. So he worked in Greece. He worked in Rome. He worked with Calvin and Luther and a lot of the Reformation period where they were these valiant, courageous men were writing the Bible in the common man's language so that the person on the street could read the Bible and understand it for the first time. And what's beautiful is when you see that effect on the common man, that it changed the way that he lived.
Wow.
Especially in England, where they tried to purify the church then and began to realize that in no way was the Church of England a New Testament obedient example. In no way was it a New Testament church, a biblical example. And so they began to separate out, and the king wouldn't have it, you know, queens at different periods, they wouldn't have it. And so there was severe persecution, and they actually went to Holland just to survive, just so that they, you know, literally wouldn't be imprisoned to death. And in prisons at that time weren't like they are now. If you didn't have someone that would bring you food, you would starve, you know, and they were rat infested and horrible. So there was that whole period. And when they went to Holland under Pastor John Robinson, they were nurtured and he taught them biblical principles of self-government, family government, civil government, reasoning from scripture, and applying them to their lives in every aspect. And that is what I see missing from the current American church. Is many times we think it's so valiant just to believe the Bible, when in actuality we need to be applying the Bible, and it's really a lost art.
I agree with you.
Yes. Yeah. And so when you look at the timeline, and this is what I do in my authentic American history class, the whole first quarter, I divided the 36-week high school class into 4 9-week quarters, because a lot of adults, when they begin hearing our true history, they feel absolutely ripped off. And they want to learn. They want to learn their true history. So I designed my high school class so that if adults want to take it, they can. And that's all at teachinghisstory.com if anyone's interested. But in the first volume, I go through what our true heritage is, how we lost it, and then just a snapshot of different periods so that people can see what God did through the generations up until the point where they came over to America and started the you know, the whole colonial history is in volume two.
Wow.
But one of the scriptures that we were going into, because you were talking about how God wants to be involved in government, but Doug Sheets teaches that God is government and how God revealed that to him from Isaiah 33:22. And what's amazing is that one of our founding fathers reasoned from this scripture and explained how the purpose of government was for the good of the people. This was Algernon Sidney. And for that, he was beheaded. The king just did not cotton to him saying that government should be good.
Yeah.
But Isaiah 33:22 says, "For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king. He will save us."
Amen.
That's the three branches of government.
Right.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was agreeing with you, but I didn't want to stop your as you unroll that thought. Mm-hmm. So go ahead. But I do have something later on. So keep going.
Okay. Well, what Algernon Sidney was explaining is these three branches of government, where you have the justice system and the courts actually should be the smallest branch of government. And you hear three equal branches all the time, but Algernon Sidney said that the judicial branch should actually be smallest. If the people are taught the Bible and are obedient, they don't need much of a court because they're obedient. Isn't that fascinating?
Yeah, it is, but it makes a great deal of sense.
Yes.
It does.
So what he said was actually that the law should be fixed, and those that are the judges in the court system should not be fixed. And so that's one place I feel like our founders made a mistake. And if you read Mark Levin's Liberty Amendments, he proposes term limits on the justices, which I think is brilliant.
Yes.
So that's just a little snapshot of that branch. And then the lawgiver, when our founders delegated some of their authority to our representatives, they only gave them 2 years. And then they were expected to come back among the people. And they were the only branch that was allowed to make law. No executive orders, no judicial decisions that make law. Only the representatives that are directly elected by the people for only 2 years.
Look, can I just stop you here for a minute? Because you're really on a hot button issue as it pertains to our America right now today, because in talking about the Supreme Court recent decisions, which we're celebrating, basically the overturn of Roe v. Wade, and the First Amendment and a Second Amendment decision that it's highly a constitutional approach. It's not making law, but it's looking at existing law, comparing it to what the Constitution is supposed to say and does say, and then issuing a decree the court then issues their opinion on it, and it's kind of a backdoor to making law, but they're not legislative, but they're looking at law from through the lens of the Constitution. So and we have today people that are, as a lot of what I would call underinformed, and I didn't make that up, as a former conservative radio host who's now hopefully with the Lord, you referred to that group all the time as underinformed. But it's out of ignorance that people are misunderstanding what's happening today because of the Supreme Court decisions. And I don't want to divert you from the track that you were unfolding, but but they're looking, but the constitutional foundations that are to influence proper decision making on the part of the Supreme Court. What can we tell people about that?
I think it's very incumbent upon us to know the original intent of the Constitution. It's not enough to read the Constitution because the terms have been so skewed by a lot of these SCOTUS decisions, and they should be opinions,
right.
But they're called decisions and they're treated as if they're edicts or laws, and that makes us an oligarchy, which would our founding fathers would be rolling in their, I'm sure they are rolling in their graves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if we the people are ignorant and we're not, and by ignorant I don't mean stupid, I mean we have not been taught for generations.
Yes.
From the original intent. So we've got to start as lay people taking the time to find out the original intent. And the best book that I have found, and someday I think maybe I'll rewrite this because he does a beautiful job of sharing some scripture in this, but I'm still even more from a biblical foundation. There's a lot of scripture I'd like to add that he doesn't put in there. But The Making of America by Cleon Skousen. You can get that on Amazon or you can get that on nccs.net, National Center for Constitutional Studies, nccs.net. You can get the book there. And I teach what I call Constitutional Conversations in 6 weeks, which I'm having a new class start this Monday. And I don't know if this is going to air before then, but you can sign up for that. You can find it at teachinghisstory.com. where I go through the whole Constitution, article by article, section by section, clause by clause, using quotes from the founders themselves, from the constitutional debates, the Constitutional Convention, from the Federalist Papers, the Anti-Federalist Papers. And the way that Cleon Skousen sets this up is so brilliant because you just start at Article 1, you go through the whole Constitution, and then you go through all the amendments, and he documents so many of the original quotes. I just haven't found anything better to teach from at this point. So I highly recommend that to your listeners that want more information.
And that the title is The Making of America.
Yes, by Cleon Skousen.
Cleon.
And I go through it in 6 weeks, and that's starting Monday. Mm. And then, you know, the class is going to be from 3 to 4:30. On Zoom, but then it's recorded and it's available on demand after that. So I would really encourage people to sign up for
and
that. It is.
I was going to say, I wanted to say that this program is scheduled to air on the 10th, this coming
Sunday.
So, okay. and our listeners who are hearing, pay attention, get a pen and a piece of paper.
That would be good.
Or you can write on your hand. I don't really care, but I want you to write, and Brenda, I want you to tell our listeners right now how they can, if they want to participate, how they can find this. It's on Zoom, but how can they make that connection?
If they go to teachinghisstory.com and scroll down till they see Constitutional Conversation in 6 weeks, and tell them, please use the code Liberty, and they'll get $10 off.
All right.
Okay. that's a great and we must also say that this is the remuneration is necessary. It enables you to continue doing things like this, and so we should be expecting to properly compensate you for your work. But this is crucial, folks. For us to know more about those foundational documents. So, yes, and we are doing a promo for our friend, good friend of the station, and our good friend, Barry, and myself, Dr. Brenda McMenamin, because she's one of the few people standing at the tip of the sword of truth today. And you need to pay attention. Okay, I'm going to get back to you. I'll tell you, we have about 6 minutes left in this episode, if you will. So go where you need to go, Brenda.
Well, let me finish Isaiah 33:22, because
Okay. The
third line is the Lord is our King. And so that is the executive branch. And what Algernon Sidney taught us is how if any two of those branches collude, you have tyranny. And I won't go into his brilliant reasoning right now, but our founding fathers read Algernon Sidney. They read John Locke and Blackstone and some of the other Christian philosophers. And so they learned from them, and they learned from the Bible, scriptures like Jethro's advice to Moses in Exodus 18:21. Remember when Moses was out in the desert and he had 3 million people and he was ruling them the way that he had modeled from Pharaoh, because he was raised by Pharaoh as a young man. And Jethro, his father-in-law, said, what you're doing is not good. You're going to wear yourself out in the people. I'm going to give you some advice. He basically said, choose from among the people men who have courage, who fear God, who will not take a bribe, and who love truth, and set them over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. And our founding fathers literally took that verse. It was Reverend Thomas Hooker in 1638. He taught a group of men, about 1,000 men, that scripture and deduced biblical principles of civil government from that scripture and taught them how to reason and how to apply it in their civil responsibilities. And those men wrote the very first state constitution, the Fundamental Orders of Connecticut, using those principles to write our nation's first state constitution. Isn't that phenomenal?
That is phenomenal. It gets us back to, and I guess I was going to do an overview at this point, because we have a God who does not change. And so from before the foundation of the earth, before the creation of anything, God was God. God is God. He doesn't change. He's perfect from day one. Probably there was never any day one for him. But and so God's plan for his people doesn't change. And throughout the ages, and if we look at human history, and if we make the mistake of studying the errors people make in government and think that that's God, we have to back away from that and say, you know, history teaches us both what government looks like when God is in it, and also the tragedies that occur in government when God is not in it. And we have plenty, even in the last 20th and this century, to point to that. And so it's we serve a God who has a plan. It's perfect, and that plan involves how we are governed when we listen to God and when we do what he says. The government of God is a blessing. It's enriching, it's freeing, and that issue of freedom is a word that's just literally yells at us today to say, let's get back to the kind of government where we are truly free.
May I say something, Brenda?
Yeah, Barry.
I've been quiet here all. I'm learning a lot. You set my brain on fire. I work with many, many young people. I'm 67 now, so if they're in their 40s, I call them kid. But some of them are in their 20s and 30s, a few millennials, and they don't have a perspective, whether it's biblical or government, constitutional or not. They don't have a perspective because they haven't been given the information. It's been withheld for whatever reason. And so they follow mob rule, and that's where they find their purpose. And I just think people like you out there, we need to clone you. We need about 1,000 clones right now just to get this type of perspective out. Yeah. I think in the very beginning of this program, when you said that the forefathers had forefathers, I don't think a lot of people think that way.
Yeah,
This didn't come out of thin air. It came from God through generations. So I just want to thank you for sharing this and beginning perhaps out there for some young folks, beginning some intellectual curiosity and spiritual curiosity as well. So I just want to say thank you.
And amen. Yes. And Brenda, I'm going to ask you before we go off the air, we had originally talked about encompassing all of your wisdom in this one program. And the truth is, that's not possible. Could you join us for the next recorded program?
I would be honored. Okay. And if I could just share with your listeners, you know, there's so many horrible things going on right now. We tend to think that God's left us, but I would just encourage your listeners, God loves us. God loves you. He is so kind. He is so patient. And, you know, coming to him is as easy as just saying, Father, I give you all my sin, my failure, my shortcomings. I give you all my hopes, my dreams, my ambition. And I just ask you, lead me, guide me, teach me your ways. He is always so good and so pleased when we turn to him and trust him that he will redeem. He will lead us. He is just
amen.
So good and so full of love and compassion.
And thank you for sharing that, because we always need to get back to the bottom line of truth and the bottom line of God's attributes, God's very personhood, which he has willingly invested in human history and willingly invested in every civilization. And so for America, he has. But what I want to do is taking that one thought about God and America and freedom. And I would love for us in the next episode, which will air on the 17th of July, is to talk about the issue of God in our government and the issue of freedom, and specifically in those foundational documents that we've been talking about. And specific of that is the Constitution. So our time is rapid. The sands of time are slipping through. But we will be back. Listeners, we love you. God loves you. He wants the best for you. In our limited, humble way, we're trying to bring you some character of revelation that does that. So tune in next week, 89.9 WCNO, either live 5:30 a.m. or p.m. on Sunday, or you can go to the archives, which we call On Demand. And until next week,
God bless
God
you.
God bless you.
Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word,
that we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified,
and receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move
and his perfect plan is unfolding in our time.
Our transgressions.